The Civil Rights Museum records the oppression, cruelty, and injustice inflicted on the African American community, the fight to end slavery, to break down Jim Crow, to end segregation, to gain the right to vote, and to achieve the sacred birthright of equality. Here, that's big stuff. That's big stuff. Those are very big phrases, very big words.
Hello, I'm Jack Auer.
And I'm Neely Rose.
And welcome to Fishing in the Swamp, a political podcast on iTunes. So, Neely, I would say it was a pretty mellow week in Washington, D.C. compared to last week.
Yeah, I mean, last week we probably could have talked on the pod for like 3 or 4 hours. This week, we don't really know what's going to happen. It was pretty silent all week because
compared to all the bombshells that came out last week.
Because the biggest thing that's going on in the political world right now is the tax bill, and it's currently in conference committee being worked out. So we don't really have any news about that because, as always, Republicans are keeping a tight lid on the issue. Democrats probably won't know what's in it until
they're not allowed in the process,
so they probably won't know what, so they, the people in the House probably won't know what's in it until they get the bill.
Mm-hmm. And I know some key senators that are in the conference committee, I think, are Lisa Murkowski. I think he's a senator from, he's from Wyoming, I'm pretty sure. I think his last name is Senator Barrasso, who I think has been a key figure in this entire tax reform fight. There's a bunch of House Republicans. Obviously, Mitch McConnell will be playing a big role. Speaker Ryan, Leader McCarthy, who is expecting a vote next week on tax reform. So this is accelerating quickly. They definitely want to pass this bill before Christmas, so Trump can sign a, as he puts it, a nice, beautiful tax reform bill before Christmas. So on Christmas morning, Americans walk down the stairs
to a tax hike
underneath their Christmas tree. So yeah, I mean, I don't know what exactly still is really in this bill because it's really unknown until the differences are ironed out between both chambers. I think it's pretty safe to assume that the corporate tax will remain the same rate
if it doesn't go lower. Yeah, exactly.
I know that some people want it to be like 17%. I think right now it's at like 20 point something. And some people want it at 20%, which, I mean, being a high school student, I still don't really see a huge difference between 20% and like 20 point
something. When you're talking something. About millions and billions of dollars.
Now that I think about it,
it's a lot.
That does make a lot of sense. And it will help middle-class Americans for a little bit, yes. They are temporary tax cuts.
And it's barely helping them.
So I think those go until 2027.
Yeah.
If my facts are correct.
They do.
And where Congress will then have to decide then and there whether or not they want to keep these temporary tax cuts in place or if they want to end them.
Yeah, and it's worth like noting that it's going to be hard for them to continue because the corporate tax rate is cut permanently. That tax rate is not changing if this passes. They like that's one of the major sources of revenue for the federal government. So it's going to explode the deficit, and they're going to have a hard time, like in allowing the middle class cuts to remain in place because they're going to need to pay for it somehow. And they can't just like, keep on exploiting the deficit without any consequences. They're gonna need to have somebody that's paying for the cuts to the corporate tax rate, and that's gonna be the middle class.
You brought up the deficit, and that is many senators' concerns. I would say definitely some representatives have concerns about it as well. Probably not as much as senators who, obviously have been maybe in Congress for a longer time and realize the situation that goes on with the deficit and it obviously rising.
it's so ironic that they're doing this, because for Obama's entire presidency, the Republicans were deficit hawks and were screaming anytime we tried to pass anything. And now they're exploding it and they don't care. Like, they would not vote for us. That's the entire reason that we have the Tea Party. It's because of the deficit. And the Tea Party people don't care. The Koch brothers wrote a letter to all the people that they buy and said, don't bring up the deficit when you're debating this bill. Do, like, just vote for the bill, forget the deficit. Because the Koch brothers would rather have like the corporate tax rate be cut. They don't actually care about the deficit at all.
So I did find a list of the Republican House members who are in the Senate, in the House Senate Conference Committee for the GOP tax plan resolution. They are Kevin Brady from Texas, Devin Nunes from California, who, by the way, was cleared this week for mishandling information with the Russia probe. He is the House Intelligence Chair, if I am correct, and there was that whole issue with him going to the White House, sharing information with the president, and he was kind of just like a controversial figure, and that whole Russia probe, people didn't think he was being fair. They thought he was siding with the president before he knew the facts, but he is clear, and I think he is taking back his position on the Russia probe, so that'll be interesting to watch. Other members on this tax plan resolution, a part of the conference committee, are Peter Roskam from Illinois, Diane Black from Tennessee, Kristi Noem from South Dakota, Ron Bishop from Utah, Don Young from Arkansas, and I would like to mention that Don Young is now the new dean of the House, now that John Conyers is out of the House, because John Conyers, who we'll talk about in a few moments, was the longest-serving member in the House. He resigned this week due to sexual
assault
allegations.
Almost 90 years old.
So Don Young is now the dean of the House, which is not a – you don't have to be a part of a certain party. You just are the oldest member of the House. Or I think you're the longest-serving, not the oldest, longest-serving. Greg Walden from Oregon and John Shimkus from Illinois. And I'm trying to find a list of senators right now, so I will update you on that. But yeah, this will be very interesting to watch coming out of, conference committee, because I found it. Orrin Hatch from Utah, Mike Enzi from Wyoming, Lisa Murkowski from Arkansas, John Cornyn from Texas, John Thune from South Dakota, Rob Portman from Ohio, Tim Scott from South Carolina, and Pat Toomey. God. From Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by
Pennsylvania. Murkowski's from Alaska, but it's okay.
I think Toomey will be a major figure because he's been big on this tax reform bill.
Yeah.
Big. And so is Tim Scott. He's been...
oh, my God. Tim Scott drives me crazy.
But, yeah, they're definitely putting some key figures in there who have been for this big, which will be very... And I think you brought up the point earlier, because it would be very... As I was saying, it will be something to watch when this does come out, the final bill to be voted on both the House and the Senate, because Senator Collins has said that if her demands are not met for her amendments in the Senate bill, she may turn to a no vote.
Yeah, so what Collins wants a deduction for property taxes and another amendment that would allow a provision protecting retirement benefits for employees of charities and local governments. And she also wants like a medical expense deduction. And she's also stated that she will not vote for it if there's a Medicare cut in it. And there's been a 4% proposed cut.
And so we know Corker might more than likely be a no, depending on what this does to the deficit, the final bill.
McCain should be a no.
So Collins might be a no, which means we would be down to 50. And if that's the case, then Mike Pence would break the tie. But they lose a third, such as McCain, Murkowski, Flake, who I don't know because he's been promised talks on DACA. I'm not really sure. But obviously the reason Republicans really want to pass this is that if they do not pass this bill, if they fail with a majority with the House, the Senate, and the White House, and even the Supreme Court for that matter, they control every single branch of government, and they are not able to pass any major piece of legislation within the first year that they have controlled everything. That's that's really bad on their part.
Yeah.
And some are saying that it would be the end of the party, which is a little dramatic. It's very dramatic.
Yeah.
But it would definitely be maybe a shift in 2018 or something like that.
So speaking of Republicans controlling all branches of government, so the Congress, the deal that Congress made in September to raise the debt ceiling, it was temporary. It was a 3-month deal. So they have to do the same thing. They have to raise the debt ceiling. And they also, I think they also have to pass a budget in December. So, because otherwise the government will shut down. And so this week they passed a 2-week resolution.
Chambers did.
Both chambers passed a 2-week resolution, which pushes it off. So they have to pass one now by December 23rd.
Trump.
So, or they're shutting down the government for Christmas.
Trump met with Chuck and Nancy, and
after saying that he didn't think they were going to come, like they were going to find a deal.
Yeah. So last week Chuck and Nancy were invited to the White House, and Trump tweeted out that morning a tweet saying that they were coming to the White House that day, but it would be very hard to reach a deal. He doesn't know if it can be reached, and blah, blah, blah. And Chuck and Nancy responded with, "We're not coming to the White House, Mr. President." And Trump did this whole photo op where, okay, I was actually home that day, and I was laughing so much because they opened up the doors, right? And I don't know if you saw this, to the White House where, you know, Trump meets with, you know that table he sits at where he's like in the center, and like he always has meetings in that room. So what usually happens in these meetings is Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell sits him on the right, it doesn't even matter the right or left, and Paul Ryan sits on the other side of him, and then next to Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan on each side is Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Well, this time when the press came in, there were two empty seats next to Trump, and on the ends of the table were Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. And it was the thing that was so comical about it was that there were two empty seats, and right in front of the seats were little name tags that said Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, which everyone noted because they don't usually sit next to the president. So obviously he was trying to make a statement. And so this week he re-invited them because, you know, a government shutdown is a real possibility. They need to pass something. And the major issue over budget is pretty much immigration. And
I mean, there are a lot of concerns.
There's a lot. But I would say DACA is the main concern for Democrats right now.
Well, the top three are children's health care, the Children's Health Care Act that was allowed to expire, and DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DREAMers, that program that Obama established, and also they want Obamacare to be funded for the next year. So those are the top three issues. It's a really interesting topic because we saw, like, I remember a couple years ago in 2013 when the government shut down, and I remember, like, watching that and, like, being really annoyed and really mad at the government because, like, basically on Cape Cod, most of the land near where I live is National Seashore. So it shut down a ton of the stuff in the area. And, they weren't any park rangers there, so you couldn't go in. And it locked stuff up. And one of the things that I remember is we had a school field trip planned. I think it was in, like, 7th grade. We had a school field trip planned to go to one of the national parks, and we couldn't go because the government was shut down for, like, a month. So they just canceled it because they were too, like, because the park rangers, like, couldn't, like, they didn't have a job pretty much for that time. So we couldn't go. But Democrats were really, really, really critical of the Republicans when they did that at the time, when they forced the shutdown. And now we're seeing Democrats call for a shutdown, which I think is really interesting because it's like it's a different situation. And like I remember hating the shutdown back then, even though I was like really young, and it's weird that I liked politics back then, but I remember, like, not liking it, and, like, thinking it was a bad idea, and, like, being really annoyed, being really angry at the Republicans for shutting down the government. But now, like, I'm one of the people that's calling, like, I think that a shutdown is actually, I don't think that's a bad idea. I think if you're doing it for the right things, it makes sense in this situation. And it's just a really interesting situation because, like, I feel like it wouldn't be the Democrats' fault if the government does shut down.
Trump does. Trump thinks it would be the Democrats'
fault. They control the House, they control the Senate, and they control the presidency. So it's pretty pathetic if they can't fund the government.
But I think it's because they need 60 votes.
No, Senate. it's because of the House.
The House?
The House, because it's because of the Tea Party.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
The Tea Party will not, like, they're like about 30 representatives in the House that are Republicans, but they ran on like a Tea Party platform. They ran as deficit hawks, and they refuse to pass a budget. They refuse to raise the debt ceiling. So that's a reason that they cannot get their stuff together to do this. And I think it's pathetic.
I just lost my train of thought, but I know that the issue of DACA is that Nancy Pelosi, that's her main goal for the year, is to get a DACA compromise by the end of the year, like, you know, to ensure that they're not kicked out of the country. And Trump, I think Trump doesn't want to, like, he's said that he doesn't want to kick out Dreamers, but he wants to have funding for his border wall before he's willing to agree to keeping DACA, which Democrats obviously don't want to do because they don't think we need a border wall. But I don't know. It might have to be something they have to give in to. And the Democrats argue that there already is a border wall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the kind of border wall that Trump wants, but it's more of a fence. A wooden fence. I think last time I looked up a picture of it. You should do that. You should look up a picture of the border down there. It's actually,
I think it's all different.
It's spots. All different. It's like the thing that I don't understand is, like, near the coast is, like, the easiest place to get in. It's, like, literally, like, if I remember right, it's like a little tin fence with, like, it doesn't even go into the ocean. So, like, literally, you could just literally go around it. Are you looking at a picture, Neely?
Yeah. I mean, some places it looks, like, really developed. Like, it looks really intense. In some places, it doesn't. Because there's this really cool thing that I think everybody should look up. It was an art installation on the U.S.-Mexico border by an artist called JR. And it's on the Mexico side. And it's this little Mexican child. I think he's 2 years old. It's a little boy. And he's peering over the fence. And it looks like he's, like, looking over into a crib, like, looking over the bars of his crib. But he's, like, peering over the fence into America. And it's the coolest thing. Everybody should look at it. But there's also a picture that of border agents standing there watching it, which I think, like, it's so symbolic. And it has, like, so many different meanings. I don't know. I think it's really interesting. It's a really cool picture.
But yeah, so 2 weeks until the funding of the government runs out, which is actually just around Christmas. So that will be a very
great Christmas present.
Exciting holiday fights that will go on Capitol Hill before everyone goes home for the holiday season. But yeah, so that pretty much wraps up our discussion on the tax bill, and Neely brought into that conversation the whole idea of a spending package to help keep the government open. So, Neely, do you want to turn to, for like the third week straight, our top story is like sexual assault allegations.
Yeah.
This week actually was kind of a turning point in Washington, D.C. We saw three people resign. The first was Representative John Conyers from Michigan. His seat will not be filled until next year's midterm elections. The governor is a Republican. Many people see this as being a little petty to keep this seat unrepresented because it's pretty safe to assume that in the Detroit area, it would definitely go to a Democrat. The second congressman to resign was Senator Al Franken from Wisconsin. No, I'm sorry, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And last but not least was, oh, I forget his name. He's from Arizona.
But did the guy from
Texas? I think his name's Trent.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get his last name. I had it listed, but my computer froze yet again. I'm getting a new laptop for Christmas. Exciting, exciting. His name is Trent Franks from Arizona. He's that story. He resigned rather quickly. So it came out on I think Wednesday, Thursday night, and there were reports that he had acted inappropriate with his staff, you know, women's staff, and it later was reported that he asked multiple women on his staff if they would carry his baby for $5 million, which doesn't really seem like a request that you would ask one of your workers. So he was quickly out, and he was going to resign in January, but he is no longer a congressman due to his wife being admitted to a hospital, which he's had a very eventful couple of hours, I would say, within the last week. First this coming out against him, and then his wife going to the hospital for, I think, an illness. I'm not quite sure. I don't know if it had anything to do with related to this. And maybe she had a heart attack when she found out what her husband was asking for. But yeah. But definitely the biggest shocker was Al Franken, who has been a rising star in the Democratic Party. So Al Franken, Leanne Tweeden, there was that came out like I would say maybe a month ago with the picture of him pretending to grope her, and supposedly him forcing himself to kiss her, or forcing her to kiss him, in like a rehearsal of some sort of skit for the military, and then other things came out against him where he inappropriately touched women during photo opportunities with the senator, some before, some after. And then there was a woman that came out this week that was like the final straw for Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, who said that, I think it was like as a comedian, what the woman said was that he kissed her, and he said like he could do it because he was a comedian. And Al Franken denied that. And Al Franken did say that in his speech, he said he thinks that some of the allegations are not true. He says that some of them he remembers quite differently, and that he thinks he's been painted. He says he does understand he might have been inappropriate in certain situations, but he does not.
I didn't really like what he said.
Yeah, he was kind of denying.
Yeah, he was denying, and he wasn't really accepting responsibility for his actions.
Immediately, when he mentioned that, he turned to Donald Trump and Roy Moore, and he was kind of like I don't know, he was like kind of like turning.
Yeah,
he was just.
I didn't like it. I didn't like that.
And I don't know. I mean, Al Franken, I don't agree with him politically that much, but he was such an interesting figure in the Senate. He was a former comedian, as I mentioned. And
I don't understand.
He had an interesting way of doing things. He was different.
How can you be an advocate for women and like women's rights?
He said he was on the Senate floor when he resigned. He said he was an advocate for women.
No, but and also like completely disrespect them. Like that's what he was doing. He was disrespecting all of the women that came out against him again for the second time. The first time was when he harassed someone when he assaulted them. It's so stupid. But so one of the main drivers of him resigning is Kirsten Gillibrand.
Came out. It's not Kirsten, is it? I don't know why I always think it's Kirsten. It's Kirsten, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Kristen. It's yeah. Kristen. I said Kristen.
So Gillibrand came out and publicly asked for Franken to resign, which was
with like 10 other Democratic senators.
With Democratic female Democratic lawmakers, and they were like, that's really what started it. And then eventually the Democratic leadership came around and asked for him to resign as well.
Schumer said he should resign immediately. Franken is resigning in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
He's still a senator.
So, because they need him, basically. Pretty much like they need his votes right now. So she really led the movement. And it was like, it's a terrible thing for her to have to do, but it's a great move. Like, it really highlights like how much work Gillibrand has done on the issue, because she like that's been her main focus since she came to office. What is reforming how the military deals with sexual assault and sexual harassment, and second, and now like she's taken up trying to reform how the House and the Senate deal with sexual assault and sexual harassment. So it really like shows her leadership skills, and it's important like looking forwards to 2020, because she's one of the people that we've seen we've heard rumors about, we've seen as a prospect. So it's like important that she's getting her name out there and she's doing great, like doing good things that our country needs. But speaking of how Congress handles sexual assault and sexual harassment, there's this congressman in Texas named Blake Fahrenthold. He used $84,000 in taxpayer dollars, taxpayers' funds, to settle a sexual harassment claim. And he hasn't resigned yet.
Yeah. I think he'll be on his way out soon. And Paul Ryan, when he found out about Trent Franks, said, I think it'd be best if you resigned. And so Paul Ryan obviously has no tolerance for this. He realizes that he needs to get these pretty bad men out of Congress.
But so the thing about Fahrenthold is Fahrenthold did this in 2013. We're finding out about it now. So this is what Gillibrand's trying to fix. She's trying to make the process a lot more transparent, because nobody knew about this. Like, this would have been a major scandal if anybody had ever heard about this. But because of the way the Congress system works for lawsuits and stuff like that about sexual harassment and sexual assault in the workplace, the taxpayers and the constituents had no idea that this happened. So, the system really needs to be reformed. And I think in the coming months, we're going to see that this is going to start to happen, because this is affecting both parties. This makes both parties look equally terrible.
And I just want to clarify. So, kind of what made Franken resign was that, so it was like the whole Leanne Tweeden thing, I think, was still there, but it kind of like, people were like, okay, Franken made a mistake and stuff like that. People were like, maybe he doesn't have to resign. Let him go through the ethics committee. So what came out was on November 30th, a woman who had been a guest on his radio show alleged that Franken tried to give her a wet open mouth kiss when she was shaking his hand after the interview. Then on December 6th, which was 4 days ago, a former congressional staffer stated, and Franken did deny this, this encounter, was that Franken tried to kiss her as she exited the studio after a radio interview with him. And lastly, on that same day, December 6th, a former congressional staffer charged Franken with groping her while posing for a photo in 2009, when Franken would have been a senator. So obviously, Franken's behavior was before and after his election to United States Senate. And Franken did resign, as we mentioned, by widespread calling on him. It was reported, I think, on the night before he was planning on resigning, that he was going to give a speech to the Senate, which we nearly discussed a few things that he mentioned. We think he kind of steered away from taking full responsibility. He does believe that if it went before the Ethics Committee, his name would be cleared. He did say something along those lines. But another thing he said in his speech was a comparison to kind of Donald Trump. He didn't make a comparison. He was kind of making – he was trying to say that Trump was worse, because he said he was aware of the fact that there was irony that President Donald Trump remains in office despite Trump's comments on the Access Hollywood tape that came out before his election last year, where Trump said that, you know, I won't really go into details. You probably know what that tape is. Yeah. Which Billy Bush this week said was Trump on the tape.
That's like, how do you, he's such an idiot. He literally, like, he said that it was, he said that he never denied it at first. He, like, he apologized for his actions, and now he's saying that they're not true, like, a year later.
But yeah, so, obviously Democratic lawmakers are waiting for the moment that Trump's allegations are taken seriously. I know Nikki Haley was asked this morning whether or not Trump's accusers should be heard. She said, yes, they do. She said that she thinks they were heard during the election. The American people made a decision. They elected him. Obviously, there's that big lingering question of Roy Moore. Will he be elected to the United States Senate this week? I think he will. I think he will win. Trump is fully endorsing him now. He did not go to Alabama to campaign for him. He had a rally in Florida where it was right near Alabama where Alabama's could go. What are they called? Like Alabamians? Is that correct? I don't even know.
Latest poll has Moore up by 5.
So I think he will win, especially with the endorsement of the president. Trump has recorded a robocall for him to be sent out this week.
It's so disgusting. Literally, the entire Republican Party is getting around a child molester.
The RNC is funding it.
Jeff Flake donated to Doug Jones, though.
$100. Yeah. Let's be real. Jeff Flake. Okay, I get what Jeff Flake's trying to do. I get what Jeff Flake's trying to do.
Run for president as an independent.
You seriously think that?
No. That would be funny, though.
I don't know. Jeff Flake is Jeff Flake. I feel like Jeff Flake is a little... I get what he's trying to do. I do. He's trying to be that conservative, that you know, traditional conservatives love, but he's just a little annoying at times. He really is. I mean, good for him for fighting against back Roy Moore. But, I mean, people still say, you know, you voted for the tax reform bill, so...
Yeah, I know. But so in other news, non-related to sexual assault, one of the other major things that happened this week was Trump declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel. So forever, since 19...
I'm showing Yelly my third... This is the third time during this entire podcast that my computer has frozen and crashed.
Nice. Since 1948, the issue of... control over Jerusalem has been a major problem, and so Palestinians and Israelis both claim the land. So this has been like the cornerstone of every single proposed deal that the U.S. has ever tried to make, and it's sort of been by a lot of experts believe that eventually at some point it's like. When we finally get a peace deal, the land's going to have to be split up and Jerusalem's going to get the East Bank. I mean, Israel's going to get the East Bank and, like, the eastern part. Wait, I just switched that accidentally. I'm sorry. Yeah, so Palestine's going to get the east part of Jerusalem and then Israel will get the western part because it's a holy land and both are claiming that, like, both are claiming it and, like, both countries will, like, refuse to make a deal without it. So it's, like, basically what Trump did is he, like, gave away the top prize. He gave away what, like, the reason that they're making this deal. Like, automatically, with no protest, he just decided this is how it's gonna go before there's even been a deal. So there is no plan, there is no peace plan yet, but he gave away Jerusalem. And so what this means is that the U.S. government loses their position of neutrality. And that means that they are going to lose their leverage over Israelis and Palestinians to achieve peace because their leverage, like, is as a negotiator in the deal. And because Trump gave away Jerusalem, there is no, like, there really is no reason for a deal anymore. Like, he took away the primary goal. And so Palestinians are really, really angry about this. And they're like, they feel blindsided by the Trump administration because it really, like, this wasn't predicted at all. And the person that we have to blame for this is Jared Kushner. So I'm sure that more information is going to be coming out about this in the coming weeks as the situation develops. But Trump said that we are moving our embassy to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel now.
I think Kushner has some, like, he didn't disclose.
Yeah, he didn't disclose that he was part of an organization that was violating international law by supporting illegal Israeli settlements in the West Bank, which is an area that Palestine claims. So that happened last week.
Yeah. So this was obviously a controversial issue. Many were protesting in Palestinian lands after Trump's decision. It will have to be watched to see what happens. Many were nervous that there was going to be some sort of like military action taken against the United States and that we were going to have to respond. But luckily none of that happened. There was just a lot of uprising in the Middle East. And yeah, Trump does believe that's a good decision. Many Republicans did commend him on this this decision. Including Jeb Bush, who I saw a tweet about it, which I laughed funny. At. I was like, oh, wow, he came out of the shadows. So, yeah, I would say I did read an article this morning where a Democratic lawmaker came out saying Jerusalem is a part of Israel. So it'll have to be watched. A lot of issues right now just have to be watched to see where they go because we can't really predict it. So that was another major thing that happened this week. I can't speak too much on it because I'm not too knowledgeable on the topic. I know that Israel is a major ally. It's sometimes called our best ally. Obviously Netanyahu?
Netanyahu.
Am I pronouncing it right?
Netanyahu.
Yeah. What Neely said. He was very he loves dying. Trump. He loves Trump, and he was very happy about this decision. Anything else we're talking about today, Neely?
Not really.
My computer is crashing, and I cannot read our agenda.
Yeah, I saw this tweet earlier today, and it was really funny. If anybody remembers Kim Davis, the county clerk in Kentucky, she was forced to watch the man that she banned from getting a marriage license sign up to run against her next year because she's the county clerk. So that's what she has to do. And it's really funny. It's just sort of ironic. I thought that was hilarious.
I think we're going to take a look at Trump tweets and then
sign off.
Yeah, and maybe talk for a few minutes about TV. And then, yes, as Neely said, sign off. So let's see what's been tweeted about lately from Trump. This one is about Roy Moore. We can endorse Roy Moore. Last thing the Make America Great Again agenda needs is a liberal Democrat in Senate where we have so little margin for victory already. The Pelosi/Schumer puppet Jones will vote against us 100% of the time. He's bad on crime, life, border, vets, guns, and military. Vote Roy Moore. In Alabama, I would like to note that their biggest issue is abortion, and Roy Moore is against abortion, so that's mostly one of the reasons people do not want to vote for Doug Jones, because they think they're voting against their religion. He tweeted about his approval ratings, 45% approval rating, according to Morning Consultant / political poll. Tweeted a couple of videos about being in Pensacola Bay. Tweeted this. This is your land, this is your home, and it's your voice that matters the most. So speak up, be heard, and fight for the change you've been waiting for your entire life. Merry Christmas, and thank you, Pensacola Christmas. Pensacola, Florida. Did he come up with that? He can't have come up with that. That's a little rhyme.
It's literally a rhyme. That's so stupid.
He's tweeted, great evening last night in Pensacola, Florida. Arena was packed to the rafters. The crowd was loud, loving, and really smart. They definitely get what's going on. Thank you, Pensacola. A big contingent of very enthusiastic Roy Moore fans at the rally last night. We can't have a Pelosi slash Schumer liberal Democrat Jones in that important Alabama Senate.
Yeah, but we can have a child molester.
Need your vote to make America great again. Jones will always vote against. Will always vote against what we must do for our country. Oh, I thought he was saying Moore. I was like, what? Okay, and then he went on a Twitter. Rant about CNN. So he said, fake news, CNN made a vicious and purposeful mistake, which I do not know about. I have to look more into that. They were caught red-handed, just like lonely Brian Ross at ABC News, who should be immediately fired for his mistake, in quotations. Watch to see if CNN fires those responsible, or was it just gross incompetence? CNN's slogan is CNN, the most trusted name in news. Everyone knows this is not true, that this could, in fact, be a fraud on the American public. There are many outlets that are far more trusted than fake news, CNN. Their slogan should be CNN, the least trusted name in news.
It's literally a joke.
Okay, then there was, this was like the last couple main tweets. Okay, so there's a reporter for the Washington Post named Dave Weigel. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he said, Dave Weigel at Washington Post put out a phony photo of an empty arena hours before I arrived at the venue, with thousands of people outside on their way in. Real photos now show, as I spoke, packed house, many people unable to get in. Demand apology and retraction from fake news, Washington Post. Then he went on again. David Weigel of the Washington Post just admitted that this picture was a fake, which he did on his own Twitter, Dave Weigel. He did say that it was a fake picture. Showing an almost empty arena last night for my speech in Pensacola, when in fact he knew the arena was packed, as shown also on TV. Fake news. He should be fired.
Yeah. If I wish Trump could be fired every time he lied about something.
And then this morning, he tweeted, getting closer and closer on the tax cut bill, shaping up even better than projected. House and Senate working very hard and smart, and result will be not only important, but special. So those are your Trump tweets of the week. There were a lot, but mostly about Pensacola, Florida, more and more, and fake news.
Yeah.
If that never does change. Okay. Neely, did you want to mention anything on the use of the word alien to describe human beings?
I don't know, this is just like a random thought. I get really annoyed when people use the word alien to describe human, like illegal immigrants, because they're literally human beings and like they're not aliens. I understand that alien is used to mean foreign, but it like dehumanizes them, and I think it's really terrible. I don't like that the right, that conservatives do that. It really annoys me, because like these are people. And using it, like, by using the term alien, just you're pretty much, like, you're implying that they are, like, they're not equal and they're not human beings, which really annoys me. That's it.
Neely's rant of the week. Okay, so before we go, what are we watching? I know Neely watched the first episode of The Crown Season 2.
I watched the first 15 minutes.
I'm almost done with Season 1. I'm on the last 20 minutes of Season 1. Very good. Winston Churchill is no longer in it. I'm so sad. It's not a spoiler, really, because it's like a show about history, so obviously Winston Churchill does not live forever. Spoiler. But yes, very good. I would highly recommend. It's, you know, it's all about love, sort of, like, broken relationships that go through the whole ideal, like that idea of country over, you know, your own self and stuff like that. It's good watch. This week it was announced that House of Cards will be coming back for a sixth and final season, consisting of only 8 episodes. Not very happy about that part, but the good news is that Robin Wright will be the sole lead. Which is very exciting. Obviously, Kevin Spacey cannot come back, rightfully so. But I think after how the last season ended, it will make sense why, maybe she'll be the only one. I won't give away any spoilers, but what are your thoughts on that, Neely?
I don't know. I can't wait to see it. I just want to, like, see how it turns out. I don't know. It's going to be weird.
And then the other news this week was there's going to be another round of Big Little Lies, which is very exciting. That was probably one of my, like my favorite show of 2017. Not going to lie. That was very good. Very good. Loved with Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman in that. Nicole Kidman especially. But that will not be coming back till 2019. Crying in the club here.
I know. It's so good. I really want to watch it. I'm going to rewatch it.
Any other things, Neely, that you've been watching or you're just first 15 minutes of... Oh, yeah. We both watched Shameless. That's right. So yeah, those, I would check out definitely The Crown season one if you have not watched it, and then, hey, if you watch season one, you get to watch season two. Watch all five seasons of House of Cards, even though there's now a Predator on it. hey, you could be me and have Frank Underwood as your senior quote.
Yeah,
let's be real.
Jackie's Frank
let's
Underwood as a senior quote, which, like, isn't the greatest idea, but it's fine.
Hey, this all came out after I submitted my quote. It's not like I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, oh, Kevin's. And then, yeah, watch season one of Big Little Lies. If you have HBO, obviously. Some people don't have HBO, which I feel bad. Hey, if you want my HBO account, hook me up. not hook me up. You can just contact me. Because I would hook someone else up. I would ask for
tweet
someone to hook
us.
Me up. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, Jack.
Oh, yeah. And before we go, follow our Twitter, FITS Podcast, FITS Podcast. So I think that concludes the show. It was a little shorter of a pod because there wasn't as much going on this week. But hey, that makes our job a little easier.
Yeah. This is a great talk about some terrible topics. Some things that we don't want to be talking about because they're pretty depressing. But that's American politics right now. Hopefully DACA will pass in the next couple of weeks. And then we'll have something actually good to talk about.
Mm-hmm. So that pretty much concludes Fishing in the Swamp. I'm Jack Auer.
And I'm Neely Rose.
And happy holidays to everyone that's celebrating
Christmas or
Hanukkah or Kwanzaa
or
any holiday during
Merry
this holiday
Christmas
season.
Again, Jack.
I know. So thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.